News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Well, we're moving on now.
We're moving on now.
To the east.
I love it. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday.
I love it.
The 3rd of October, Anno Domini 2004, and you crazy people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Jay Benright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And
this is different for us.
Welcome to our moved up home now, 11 to 1 every Sunday here on Wham. Very exciting for us. Very interesting and different.
You're going to choke yourself,
He's
Steve.
He's trying to hang himself here somewhere.
I think it's a little bit too early for some of us. We're just all a wreck this morning.
Oh, it's well, it's not that early for you. You've been here since, what, dark 30?
Too long.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was kind of pleasant, though. I got to actually sit up and eat breakfast with my family. And
what are you
all
doing?
Nice.
Steve's taking the studio apart.
He discovered that the chairs have roller wheels, and he's doing a little
game. He did that bit like in My Fat Greek Wedding where she gets up and goes to walk away.
Right.
Is still got the headphones plugged
Every
in.
Other set of headphones in here has a cord that wraps around the studio three times, except the one I've got, I can't get more than an inch away.
Always.
All right, we're going to bring you lots of computer news, views, stuff you can use, a bunch of good information. Maybe we'll even answer a question or two. You never know quite what's going to happen here on Sound Bites. But we're going to start with the news, and we're going to start with Steve.
Since I'm not ready.
Dave,
No,
we're all ready.
Yeah.
We had some product announcements this week in the Apple world and a glitch that has appeared so far. Apple announced the latest versions of their professional audio editing program, Logic, the pro version for, now I got to remember now. Pro version is about $1,000. The Express version, which is targeted at the prosumer market, the high end of the consumer market, for $300.
The prosumer market.
Professional consumers.
Only a Mac.
It's a different price point.
It's market.
Yeah, $1,000 is the professional market that has bigger budgets, but the home market
got bigger something.
So can't say it. This is family radio.
So the home market with Logic Express, and basically it's an audio editing program allowing you to do professional editing suites, like if you're mixing a soundtrack for a movie, or putting together music to air on the radio, for example. And it's a couple of steps up from Apple's GarageBand program, which is basically designed just for making looping tracks to go behind your slideshows, for example, in the home user market. GarageBand is a great program for people who don't have any musical ability because it comes with 1,000 pre-built instruments and pre-built loops, so you can just assemble the other loops and they all work together. In addition to the Logic package, they also introduced two new jam packs for GarageBand and Logic, hip-hop beats, Latino beats, and what was the third one? That's what I'm not ready for. I was going to bring all these notes up for. So two more jam packs with several thousand more instruments each. Again, so you don't have to have any serious musical talent, but also professional musicians do use Logic. The other major release that kind of got overshadowed by the Logic upgrade is that Apple has increased their .Mac email service. .Mac gives you an email address at Mac.com, but it also gives you storage space for web publishing. You can make an instant web page with their iPhoto program. It's got an antivirus software. It's got a lot of free goodies from Apple and third parties. They increased the mail storage capacity from 100 megs to 250 megs. So now you can split that 250 megs between email and web pages. So now home users are finding that they have more and more photos they want to put on the web. And it's a really great way for It's a great way for home users to publish a web page without needing to know HTML code. Just click some pictures, click the button, you have a web page. But there have been a couple of glitches that have come out through the rollout that a small number of customers are having difficulty receiving their mail due to database issues. The sender gets a bounce back message claiming the destination is over quota. And it's basically a confusion between the quota used to be 100 megs, now the quota is 250 megs total, originally nominally split, 125 for mail, 125 for web that you can change later. And so there's just a couple of glitches in the settings file. So if you have a .Mac account, some of the people trying to send mail to you might be getting bounces, and it's a system a glitch at Apple system. They know about it, and they're working on it.
Cool. All right, Dave?
Okay, on the hardware front, Plex Store has just announced a new 16X dual-layer burner, which is quite exciting, you know, moving you on up from the old 8 and 12X speed.
And so from the 4 gig to the 8 gig capacity.
Yes, exactly. Plus, over in Taiwan, the consortium over there has now set up and said that they've finally decided on an HD DVD format, which is, for you folks that don't quite understand this, it's just like when the modems came out. They had different standards, V.90 versus, another standard. And it's like, or even going back farther, like beta and VCR tapes. You know, it's trying to decide which way to go. And, of course, like if you're like me, you know, go the beta instead of the VCR, you know, you
VHS.
Wind up with, yeah.
Beta's higher quality. VHS was cheaper. So
yeah,
we all know that cheap wins out over better quality.
Wins, but this new just them actually coming together and deciding on a typical format that the rest of the manufacturers are actually going to produce will save the folks the hassle of, getting this format and then it's not supported.
We're already running into those problems now with the CD and DVD plus formats versus the minus formats. The minus are more compatible. The pluses are a little more convenient. So now most of the drives are plus and minus. But we had a customer this week. Someone gave him a plus disc. He couldn't read it on his old Mac because it's only minus.
Another great breakthrough.
It's not just a hyphen. It's really a minus that means something.
As notebooks get smaller and smaller, space is always a big issue in getting the most in it and still be lightweight. Well, Toshiba is announcing that they've now come out. The old hard drives in a laptop were literally 1.8 inches in physical height.
2.5. In height, 9 millimeters or 12 millimeters.
Yeah. Now, they're now going to 0.85.
And they're also dropping from 2.5-inch diameter to 1-inch diameter.
Yeah. And they're going a lot smaller. And, by the way, the capacity is going on up. They're going to be available, up to 320 gig, 20 gig. And it's still in the 2.5, though, if you still, want to get some of the higher capacity and still have an older Pentium 3 or Pentium 4.
Yeah, last week's model.
Yeah, last week's model, you'll still be able to go up to 640 gig, whereas the 3.5s go up to 2 terabytes. So, there's a lot of good things happening on the market as far as...
bigger, better, cheaper, faster.
Yeah, exactly. It's the way it's going to go, and SanDisk ups its capacity on the flash cards. They're now going up to 2 gig. So if you've got... the newer cameras and everything else that you're able to do,
6, 8, or 10 megapixels. It's horrible getting one picture on your camera card.
Or, sitting there and trying to do movie clips. Quite often, you can sit there and do a short movie clip and it's gone. So this higher capacity is actually going to, help folks out there right now. Like anything else, it's kind of high priced. It's close to $1,000, $960. But like with anything else, is over time, it'll drop.
We were just talking about that the other day. The first hard drive that came out for a personal computer was the 5-meg profile on the Apple II. It was $1,000 a meg.
What?
Now the late...
And it held every business program available for the Apple III and lots of room for your data.
Now the biggest hard drive...
PC's hard card.
Yep.
10 meg.
Yeah. Now the biggest hard drive you can get without being a huge RAID chassis is 1.6 terabytes, and that's a tenth of a penny a meg.
I know. It's
so in less than 20 years, it's gone from $1,000 a meg to a tenth of a penny a meg.
This is one other thing, though, I find kind of interesting, though. Microsoft is now going to charge for their Hotmail.
Yes. Yes, they are.
We'll talk about that later.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm delighted to say it's the return of Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest and longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
It's online, 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, it's all of us. Welcome back to Soundbites. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
Okay, it wasn't all of us.
I know.
They left you out.
Yeah, that's all right.
But everybody knows Rob Linton.
That's right.
But why don't we...
Much to Rob's horror.
We're going to get to the calls in just a minute, but I'm going to read a little bit of Microsoft. Oh, you have... you were going to talk about the Microsoft
thing. Just a quick one. I mean, to help cut back on spam, and you folks that have Hotmail, Microsoft is now saying that they're going to start charging, which would be a $19 a year to have your Hotmail account through MSN or Microsoft, and hopefully it will deter, you know, a lot of these folks to just sign up for the free accounts and then send out countless spams.
And then disappear, so your remove instructions don't do anything.
So, right. You
know, in fact, they never do anyway.
So they're figuring maybe this $20 a year, you know, pay for the account, you get the storage space, and it'll help cut back on it, which I can see.
Right. On the virus and bad stuff front, if you have Microsoft SQL Server, there is a remote denial of service vulnerability. There is no vendor supply patch for this issue, so good luck.
Stop using your SQL Server for a while.
Well, yeah. on the other hand, however, for all of you folks who are on the desktop side of things, there is a brand new virus being spread by images. All it takes to get a virus nowadays is to download an image from the internet, and obviously you can do that inside a web page
and inside your email.
And yeah, inside your email. All of this, by the way, is a direct result of Microsoft's Internet Explorer. So if you are not using Internet Explorer as your web browser and you are not using Outlook or Outlook Express as your email program, you can relax. The rest of you need to worry. Update every day. Update all your antivirus stuff. This smells to me like it's time to move to Firefox, but that's just me. This virus is in JPEG files. It's not only available via email and via websites, it's also available via chat programs, either by sending you to a web page, you know, check out my profile, click get info, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or just downloading it to your system if you're allowing people to give you
pictures,
you can have that problem. The other part of the problem is that antivirus software is kind of ill prepared to protect people from that JPEG thing.
Because JPEGs are things you want to have.
Right. By default, most antivirus software only searches through .exe, .bat, .scr file and doesn't check JPEG. So they're going to have to rewrite the engines to do that, or people are going to have to go in by hand and make the changes to say check all. For example, on McAfee, you can say check all files.
Which takes a terribly long time, which is why no one does it.
Which is why no one does it. But you know what? You better start.
Yeah.
And, of course, the big place we're starting to see this JPEG fly, it's called the JPEG of death, by the way. The JPEG of death. We're starting to see it mostly, of course, in pornography.
The death tech.
So none
holiday.
Of our listeners are going to have to worry about that. However, there's also a flaw in RealPlayer. Movies can give you viruses now. If you use RealPlayer, and I have not been a fan of RealPlayer, I'd say ever, simply because it's a virus in and of itself. It just takes over your machine.
Some websites require RealPlayer to view their video content.
I just don't go view their video content. It's their business. They can do what they want.
Yeah, CNN is the one that I would want to use, but it wants RealPlayer.
Right. Mm. But there is a software slip-up in RealPlayer's Real Network's music player, RealPlayer. Windows, Mac, and Linux users. So all of you people who've been smugly saying, Macs don't get viruses. Next contestant, please.
Well, please note this is not an Apple program.
No.
It's not a Microsoft.
It's
not a Microsoft flaw either.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you use RealPlayer on any system, You can get this fake movie file, and it can erase files or run programs or do whatever it wants. So I would suggest that you perhaps wait and stop using real stuff until they come out with a fix for that. And, of course, just to make the world a safer place for everybody, Microsoft is offering their own anti-spyware software. Okay. I think that's enough.
We won't go there.
I think we're done with that. I think we're going to the phones now. That'll probably be our best next bet.
No?
No? What do we want to do?
Oh, we got
Rob Linton. You know, Rob's been off for the last couple weeks. Well, we've been off schedule for the last couple weeks.
Rob's been off for years.
Yeah, Rob's been off for years.
I've far from been off. I've worked the 4 a.m. to noon shift, so I've seen you in passing.
Right, exactly. See, here's the deal. Rob's hours have changed. I believe in anticipation of the fact that he could join us here on Sunday.
That's exactly it.
However, he started a couple of weeks earlier we've missed poor Rob the last couple of weeks. But I am delighted to once again say we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Like America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this
is new bump.
Soundbites. What? You look like you're ready to say something.
No, I'm just turning the music down.
Oh, that's nice of you. That's God bless you. What a sweetheart
thanks.
He is. We're going to get to the phones in just a minute, but before we do, there's a couple of things I just want to say. First, we have a trivia contest now back again every week. I've been telling you for a couple of weeks about a product called Anonymizer. The great folks at Anonymizer have generously offered to give away a copy of their software, so we have to figure out a way to give it away. We could just randomly pick somebody. But that never works.
That's not true.
That never works. So instead we have the trivia quiz. This week's trivia question, who devised the printed circuit board? Who devised the printed circuit board? If you think you know the answer, or even if you don't know the answer and you just want to guess, give us a call. You can ask a question whether you do, or you can just simply... give us a shot. Give yourself a shot at the trivia. The question is, who devised the printed circuit board? You are not allowed to guess.
No.
Oh, you look like you're ready
to
tell.
No. What I was going to say is a little more trivia information.
Yeah.
That most of the components in the design of the chip that go on a motherboard, the original motherboard.
Yeah.
The gentleman was that did it.
Yeah.
Right here from Russia.
Yes, absolutely.
That most of the components in the design and how they were going to interact and everything else.
It's astonishing how much good stuff was.
Oh, my tech Dan happened to pull off this one picture. I'll bring it in next week.
Isn't the first Intel chip supposed to be for a calculator, and they lost the contract, and, oh, let's try a computer.
Yeah.
And it's been downhill ever since. No.
Exactly. He found this old picture of what they thought the computers were going to look like in the year 2004.
Oh, yeah.
And here's this gentleman. He's got this huge console, and then this wall of components.
Vacuum tubes.
And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, right.
No one anticipated the transition.
I got to tell you, though, it's fake. It's all up on Snopes' site. It was actually an entry in a photo contest on FARC.
Oh, was it?
Sorry.
Oh.
It's fake. But anyway, you've got his website of the week, which is not fake.
Yeah, really. Each week we try to bring it. I apologize because I didn't have one last week. I was a little ill-prepared. But anyways, each week we're going to try to bring you a website of the week, and now I know I've been doing quite a few kids' sites. So this year, this week, I thought I'd shift the other direction and go for senior citizens, which Nick and I and Steve, you don't qualify yet, for the, you know, like AARP. But there's a great
I'm a member of AARP because my wife is.
Right.
Well, anyways.
Sorry, honey.
You personally don't qualify.
Right.
Yeah.
If you go to SeniorDiscounts.com. There are a lot of great deals for you folks to, as far as movie tickets, you know, different restaurants and everything else. You can put in your zip code, and it will find you the discounts that are available here in the Rochester area. And, hey, with prices going the way they are, you know, why not, save every penny that you can. Yep, that's the picture.
Yeah.
You know, take advantage of every buck you can because, take advantage of every discount that you can get because, hey, a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there, especially with the price of gas and that, getting around and everything else. So this week's website, again, is for you senior folks, and it's seniordiscount.com. And Steve, as I speak, is putting a link up there, and you can check it out.
I have no idea what
you're trying to give you like a silent message.
This is the website of the week. What do you think he's talking about?
No, that's not what I meant. Never mind.
Our website?
He's talking about our website.
Yes.
Is it okay if we go to the phones now?
You can do whatever makes you happy.
Okay, then. I'll see you guys later.
Right. Keep it clean. It's a family show.
I was leaving to do it somewhere else. We're going to go to the phones now. Finally, we're going to talk to Jim from Manchester, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I got a Linux question for you.
Uh-oh.
No, I went to your website, Linux for Beginners, and I checked them all out.
Linux for Beginners is not our website. It's a great website, but it wouldn't have much to do with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you use Linux.
Yes.
Well, that Red Hat comes with Mozilla, and the rest of them don't.
Do
the other ones run Mozilla also?
Not entirely true, but yes, any operating system will run Mozilla. There are versions of Mozilla for everything.
You just have to make sure you click on the right link to download the right version for the right OS you have.
Or, depending on what operating system you have, it might be part of the whole setup. For example, if you have Debian, you can apt-get install Mozilla. If you have Gentoo, you can emerge Mozilla. So a lot of them have it available directly in their packaging system.
Well, what I read on their, what they come with, some of them have their own stuff in it, but no Mozilla, except for Red Hat.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, I use Debian, and I've got Mozilla.
Okay.
So it is definitely available, you just, it may not be installed by default.
All right. The other part of the question is, I got a compact iPad computer, Pentium 3, and if I try to put in Windows 2000, it doesn't come with it. It says it won't take it. Would I be able to load Linux on it?
A compact iPad?
Yeah.
The little handheld iPads?
No, it's a desktop.
Oh. You certainly should be able to. What did it come with?
It comes with its own compact disk. It has Windows 2000 for the compact computer.
Yeah, you've got to use that version because of the way it sets it up. Special boot sector and all that.
Yes. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You can certainly wipe all that out and put Linux on it, but then you've lost that boot sector.
With all the special compact stuff.
With all the special compact stuff. If you don't care about that, then you win.
Well, I don't care about the compact stuff.
Well, then you can certainly get rid of it. My suggestion, however, would be go out and pick up a second hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And put Linux on that and run it on that. And that way, if you ever wanted to go back to those original compact utilities, they'd be on that other hard drive for you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the format disk puts all that on, and if I format it, I'm still shafted.
Well, no, if you format it through Linux, those all go away.
Oh, okay.
Okie doke.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
By Patrick Pontiac.
Hi there. We've talked to you a couple of times about the Anonymizer software. You need to check this out. You get, we've got a special going for you folks. For a value of $90, you get it for under $50, $49.95. You get a spyware killer, you get the mail shell anti-spam desktop, and you get Anonymizer 2004. Surf the web without exposing yourself to fraud or identity theft using the Anonymizer. Great piece of software. So, you ask yourself, how do I get this software? It's incredibly simple. Go to www.getprivatenow.com. Of course, it's all one word. Type in my name, Nick, that's N-I-C-K, and you'll get that special price of $49.95. That's www.getprivatenow.com. Enter my name, Nick, and you get a $90 worth of software for $49.95. Surf the internet anonymously. It's a great value.
Rochester's Motor Questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go on, I do want to mention that the Anonymizer folks had a little glitch. They were redesigning getprivatenow.com, and there was a little bit of a glitch. So that's been fixed. So if you have any questions or problems or you couldn't go and enter my name and get the discount, you should be able to do that now without any problems. The folks at Anonymizer want to apologize for any inconvenience. And before we go back to the phones, let me just remind you that we're going to give away a copy of Anonymizer. All you have to do is answer the trivia question, which happens to be, who devised the printed circuit board? Our next caller is John from Hilton, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Good morning, fellas. I am stumped on this one. I have a standard PC and a laptop. Both have Windows 98 Second Edition. Both have AOL 8. On both of them, when I get to the welcome page on AOL and want to search and type a word in to search, I get add request. I talked to 4 online techs, and they've had me do everything, but it doesn't work.
Dial-up?
Yes, sir.
It is dial-up on both?
Yes, sir.
And you're using the AOL internal search window.
Exactly. Now, I can hit the WW and get whatever I want.
Have you tried an... Oh, okay. So, yeah, trying another browser and going to a different search engine should work then.
They gave me a thing called WBUTIL7 as a repair to download, and I did that, and that didn't fix it.
Uninstall and reinstall?
Or try to go to 9?
I've had 9, and it really did a job. So yeah. We put the 8 plus in.
When you say you get bad requests, does that come up after or before you enter your search?
After. Like, I'll type cow. And I press the enter, and I get a big white screen that says bad request.
Is it inside the window, or is it a new dialog box that pops up on top?
It's inside the window. And what surprised me yesterday is I put my regular PC in the car to take to a repair shop, and just for the heck of it, I walked back in the house and turned my laptop on and got the identical thing.
Do you have a router? Modem. You're not using a router.
What about firewall?
I shut that off. I do have Norton firewall. I disabled it.
And this is coming up. So if you get the thing that says bad request, you get an okay or a...
No, sir.
Cancel or what happens?
I just hit the X upper right hand.
And that goes away, and then you're back to...
The welcome page.
So it sounds like it's trying to send the request to AOL, and AOL is not being able to respond to it and sends back a bad request error.
Or what I'm wondering is if it isn't a Java error.
Something in Java,
Window that comes up, there should be a blue bar across the top of the window?
There is, and on the left-hand side is the AOL insignia.
Yeah.
And on the right-hand side is X.
Right, so if you enter a search word or a keyword or a website, and it knows whether you want to open an internet page or you're sending it to AOL search page or you're sending it to the AOL keyword search. So it does several things depending on what you type in there, and that Java link could be an issue.
Yeah.
Have you talked to them about what version of Java you need?
The word Java has not come up. So far I've done 8 things with them.
I would talk to them about Java. And my question is, are you using the right version of Java? They'll be able to help you determine that. And we wouldn't know which was the right one, so
right.
Helping you determine which one you have is not going to help us any.
Is there a function in AOL, though, to clear out the cache? And
we deleted that. Okay. We showed the adapters, and it's only started this week.
Yeah, I would suggest you talk to them about Java.
When did you put the 9 in?
Oh, the 9 was in a year ago.
Oh, and then 8 was working okay.
Oh, 8 works perfect.
So it's not that 9 put a newer version in, it doesn't work with 8.
I'm afraid I don't think it's you.
Wait a minute.
To be honest.
Have you run SpyBot and Adaware?
We downloaded Adaware yesterday.
And have you done the updates and tried running it?
Well, I ran it when I downloaded it yesterday. It came up with 137.
You should also download and run SpyBot.
It finds different kinds of spyware.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to run the security tango, but I honestly think you need
the
to...
Because the spyback goes deep into the registry where adware goes wide.
Right. I think you need to talk to them also, however. About... Try that, and if it doesn't work, talk to them about Java.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
And let us know.
Bye.
Thanks. Our next caller, Clyde, on a cell phone. Welcome, Clyde. What's your question?
I was surfing the radio stations looking for sports talk. Came across you guys. I'm glad I did.
Well, I'm glad you did, too. We're here every Sunday.
Well, I'm going to tune in now often. In fact, I called my girlfriend because she's got a computer question, so I don't know if she's on hold, but I said, call these guys. I'm calling them.
There you go.
What's her name? Is Dave or Bill?
No, her name's Michelle, and she's got a Trojan horse she can't get rid of off of a computer. So
okay.
I'll be happy to talk to her if she calls in. Anyway, what's your story, Clyde?
My question is, I'm doing a publication, and I'm using Adobe's Creative Suite, primarily InDesign and Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And I've created my first publication. It came out great, but I'm using an old Toshiba laptop with 256 megs of RAM and a 30 gig hard drive, and I want to upgrade and get a new desktop. Now, I've been searching, and I'm trying to, and I go on Google, and I try to read different information. I'm trying to decide between Pentium and Athlon if there's a reason to go with one or the other, and then if what I've been looking at have been some Pentiums. I've had people say, well, you need 512 megs of RAM, and then people say, oh, get as much as you can, get a gig.
512 minimum.
Yeah. Particularly if you're doing a lot of stuff with InDesign and Photoshop.
And actually, if you're doing a lot of stuff with InDesign and Photoshop, you're probably better off with a Mac. They're more designed for that type of program.
I do know that, but I'm definitely going to stay with a PC.
All right, here's the difference a big difference between the Pentium 4 and the Athlon chips. All right, you know, they've got this numbering scheme, and you can go to, say, like a Pentium 4 2.8 and say an Athlon 2400 plus. Mm-hmm. All right, they're still rated both the same. But what AMD has done on the plus chips is added one more task per cycle. So, in other words, if it's Pentium 4 is doing 1,000, the Pentium or the Athlon 2800 does 1,001.
And Intel is now adding the hyper-threading sort of do the same thing.
And, Clyde, let me just say that as the only guy on the panel who doesn't own a computer store, you should take a look at the local vendors because you can get as good a deal and you got a face to look at if you got a problem. They know you. They know your machine. You'll probably get better service and support. But we have to take a break now. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick, all of you, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Innert.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linson.
And this is indeed Sound Bites. We're answering your questions, but we'd like you to answer one of ours. Who devised the printed circuit board? Not who. I guess I should put this a little more carefully. Who devise the current standard that we use today for the printed circuit board, I guess is really the way I want to ask that question. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Dave from SOTUS, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi. I'm glad to see you guys on Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can hear the show now.
Excellent.
I bought a new motherboard. And the motherboard warns me not to use a AGP video card that's more than 1.5 volt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone out on the internet and searched my video card, and I don't know if it's 1.5 or 3.3.
Should be in the specifications that came with the video card. Or on the manufacturer's
website. Well, the box and stuff is gone, and I looked up the card. I searched the card and found the card, but the specifications don't tell me any voltage.
Does it say if it's 1X or 2X or 4X? Because that's also part of the voltage specifications.
I beg your pardon, I didn't get that.
Does it say what AGP spec it is, if it's 1X or 2X or 4X?
It's 2, 4, and 8, or 4 and 8.
Okay. Sometimes you can also go back to the motherboard manufacturer and look at their specs. And they might have recommendation.
What card is it?
I've got a PNY MX440. The slot on the motherboard, if I try to put the card in the motherboard, you know that little locking end?
Yep.
If it's it depends
that goes
on
into the slot.
Right. It's the PNY MX440.
Correct.
I'm on their website now, and they're saying 1.5. If it's the GeForce MX200. Wait a minute.
MX440.
Yeah, MX440. I got the MX400. There it is, MX440. 1.5 volts.
It looks like
GeForce 4 MX440 graphics card, 1.5 volts.
And it looks like
you found it on the PNY?
Yeah. Yep. I did a Google search for PNY space MX440 space voltage. And it was the very first choice.
I didn't put voltage in.
There you go. Well, since that's what you're looking for, that would have helped.
You got to know all the codes.
Try it again, and you'll see that if you go down to the GeForce 4 for MX440 graphics card, it says 1.5 volts.
It looks like the 1X spec was 3.3, and the 2, 4, 8, et cetera, are either 3.3 or 1.5.
Yeah. Okie doke. Thank you. On the internet, we're librarians. The concept of library science and be able to search and organize things was what was going to make the internet useful. And then along came Google, and it's just basically brute force. If the text is somewhere on the web page, Google finds it for you. Our next caller is Bill on a cell phone. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. Love the show.
Thank you.
I have Norton Internet Security with the firewall and the virus blocker and all that stuff. And last night, I'm on Windows XP, and I get a Service Pack 2 update, so I downloaded it. And now, after it's downloaded, it blocks me from browsing the web unless I disable my firewall.
Yep. XP Service Pack 2 has a built-in firewall in it, too.
Okay, so what do you suggest I do? Should I reinstall?
You can go into the Microsoft, go into the control panel, and in there you can turn off and disable the SP2 firewall, and then that way your Symantec's firewall will work.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. Back after the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you and your questions on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Well, we're moving on now.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
I'm sorry, Steve. I forgot to fix that.
No,
it's become kind of a tradition here. And Steve Ray.
It was actually kind of funny because I was going through them to see the new ones, you know, because I wrote them up or whatever. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be mad that one didn't get fixed. So I'll tell my boss.
Like that one.
Oh, you want that one?
Let's go now. And Steve Ray.
3 years of history, I guess. We can't fight it.
Yeah, exactly. We're back. And before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about...
You didn't introduce yourself yet.
So they already know. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
There
it's,
we
like,
go.
It's not like they don't know that.
You always do it anyway. Why break that?
All right. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton again.
And this is Soundbites.
Well,
you happy now?
Since it's Sunday, it's Reverend Nick today.
It almost was Reverend Nick.
Yeah, how many years in theology school did you...
I was in a seminary. They threw me out. That's a whole other
Can't
story
imagine why.
For a whole other show. But for now...
Not family we're
gonna
rated.
It's fine. It's family rated. We're going to talk about the Soundbites website. It's soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, of course. Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was all about I can do without the. We had a their own poll, and asked people how long they could live without the internet, and I thought that would be a good question for us too. 374 of you voted, making it number 39 on the all-time hit list. And the winner, 28% of you, could do without the internet for about 2 hours, followed by 24% of you who said never, you insensitive clod, followed by for a week, for a month, for 2 weeks, and the drive to work leaves me shaking. My wife says about half an hour. She's good for about half an hour. The woman has become totally addicted. She walks by. She cannot walk by the computer room without just popping in to see if anybody sent her email.
My wife is the same way. She's totally computer illiterate, except she knows how to check her email.
And that's really all that counts when that's what you want to do.
Mine is really getting dangerous in a good sense.
you better say that.
Well, before, I mean, she did it quite a bit when she was formerly at Kodak. But now since she's taken over at the office, which, you know, she's covering more stuff than, you know, I could even explain. But getting into different sites, searching around that, we were looking, say, like for a particular file cabinet.
Yep.
Well, the two major places around here, she was waiting for them, and they finally said, oh, I guess we're not going to carry that. Well, we wanted this one particular style file cabinet. Boom, she got on, did a search, had it ordered within a half hour. And she printed it off, and she goes, here's the file cabinet coming. Where'd you find it? I just did a search, boom, 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 like this one, talk to them, got it ordered, to be here in 3 to 5 days.
Small businesses on the internet now have a global reach. You don't have to worry about mailing catalogs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, she has done some phenomenal stuff on it.
Well, this week's poll is what annoys you about Windows. One of our loyal listeners sent us this poll in. If you have an idea for a poll, please send it to us. But this one particularly says, what annoys you most about Windows? The choices are security flaws, the blue screen of death, the painful upgrades, why I just love Windows, other, leave an opinion, and that you insensitive clods still use it. So far we've got 149 votes. Security flaws is in the lead, followed by that you insensitive clods still use it. Once you've put your poll choice in, please take a look at the little yellow box underneath and click on the Give Us Your Opinion button. That will take you over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com.
Rob's been waiting over an hour to push that button.
Well, yeah. Aside from the Jefferson theme, that's the thing he was most looking for.
No.
You know, kind of all downhill for him.
Should have listened to that first because that one kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie.
Not as good. Try it again. You ready?
Wait a minute. Hang on. I got
to find
it.
Take your time. In the meantime, I'll tell you that you can leave your opinion at our site. And so far, we've got 26 opinions, a couple of which actually have something to do with the question, which is kind of nice. And you can, of course, do that at my website. Ask Nick.
Hold on.
He's not.
I can't think of one.
Are you new to this? Is that what this is about?
No, I can't think of one.
All right. Never mind. We'll do it again later.
I'm going to have to figure it out.
He's going to have to figure one out. But you can do that at my website, asknick.com, and then you can come back to soundbites.org and join us in the polls, and rather join us in the forums. We have a forum, 36,947 messages so far. 1,939 users, and most of them are pretty dang crazy, I'll tell you that right now.
I have to apologize to all our faithful listeners. I've been having some equipment problems, and I'm just so busy at home now. I've been a little slow in getting the archives uploaded, and I haven't actually had a chance to get into the forums in a couple of months now.
Join the crowd.
But it's, you know, we're getting into that time of year. Stuff is catching up to us. But definitely please join us on the website. We're going to go back to the before we do, let me remind you, we're trying to give away a copy of Anonymizer. All you have to do is guess who devised the printed circuit board. That's the standardized one that we use today. Maybe I should say who standardized the printed circuit
there
board.
You go.
That might be the best way
to
work that. Our next caller is Ray from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have several questions. First, I'll take a stab at the trivia question.
Perfect.
Is it IBM?
No.
Okay.
Good try, though.
All right.
Sorry,
you're looking for a company or a person there, Nick?
I'm
my
not looking
almost
for who's
ready to die, fellas.
What?
Okay. Yep.
On my Windows XP, when I boot up, it used to boot up just fine, but now it comes up and says, "I found boot IDE, okay. It looks like it's going to boot, and it comes up with NTLDR not found." What the heck is that?
That's the NT loader.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very core, low-level part of the OS.
Right. What happens is, basically, when you go to boot your operating system, Your computer, until it gets an operating system, is phenomenally stupid. Basically, the only thing it knows how to do is find the first bootable device, find the first sector on the first bootable device, and load the program that's there. That program under Windows XP, is under everything from NT on, is called NT Loader.
Oh.
And it knows about the rest of the system and how to load it. What's obviously happened here is that NT Loader has become corrupted or damaged, possibly by a virus, maybe just by old hardware. Could be
hiccup.
Any one of 100 reasons.
Power surge.
Power surge.
Is there an easy fix for it?
You can try when you're booting up hitting the F8 key, and there's one item there where you can say last known good boot up.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then if that doesn't work for you, then you're looking to reload XP over XP.
And reloading XP over XP won't lose my current programs or data or anything like that?
Yeah, what you'll do is you'll put it in. It'll ask you to repair. You ignore the first repair, and then you'll get the license agreement, you hit F8. The second time you see the repair, select that, and it'll just install it over it, leaving all your programs, all your settings, everything else.
Okay, can I have one more quick question?
I say, Dave, you got to write that up as a fact we can point to pretty easy.
I did. I put it.
Can I have one more quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
The Easy Armor firewall and virus checker that comes with Roadrunner, what do you fellas think about that?
It's a good one.
Well, when I run it, it always comes up and says there are 80 or 90 programs that I couldn't get into and could not check. Is that like... just can't get into maybe some viruses?
The problem is, the problem is that most of these programs cannot, in fact, almost no program, can get into the files that are open when Windows is running.
Oh.
If you run it in safe mode, you'll have a better chance.
Oh, great.
At getting at least at most of them.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, thanks a lot, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Dave, high on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Greetings, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Let me set the context of the question for you. The context is Mandrake 9.2 and Firefox 1.0 PR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the greatest Linux expert in the world, but I did manage to install the Firefox version I just referenced so that it can be run as root. Of course, that's not the greatest idea in the world.
That's not the best idea in the world.
And I have not been able to find or figure, and believe me, I've tried for hours, I created a user on the system when I loaded Linux,
mm-hmm.
But I have not been able to find a way to do either of two things. First, as user, I can download Firefox, but I can't get it to install. I can only do that as root.
Right.
And then secondly, having installed it as root, I cannot find a way to grant the privilege to the user to run the program. I am just completely baffled. I need a simple cookbook explanation because I'm not that great with Linux.
Right. When you try to run it as user, what are you trying to do? I mean, do you type the word Firefox?
Okay. No, I didn't try that. What I was trying to do was because I'm using the Nick. How do you say this? The GNOME. How do you say that?
I say it GNOME.
GNOME. Okay.
Because that apparently is the way they do it.
Okay, fine. I mean, I just didn't want to pronounce it wrong.
Yeah, well,
I'm using that system, the GNOME system, and I tried to set all of the privileges and so forth on an icon and then transfer it over to the user.
I know what you're trying to say. Have you been to the Firefox website?
Oh, believe me. Oh, yes. I mean,
because according to this, now I installed it. I'm running, like I said, I'm running Debian, so I just I'm running Debian unstable, so I just apt-got it. But if you're allowed to say apt-got, but once you've downloaded it, just running the Firefox installer is really supposed to install it perfectly.
Even for a user?
Yes.
Yeah, that I cannot get to work only as root.
So if you download the tarball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And extract it and type .firefox-installer, nothing happens?
Okay, I was actually doing it differently. I was using GNOME again.
Yeah, no. Here's what you need to do. Go to the following website, and Steve will put it up there.
Okay, I did see those. I know how to do it in the terminal as well, and then, that works as well.
Yeah.
But as root, it works equally well with GNOME.
Yes, but it only works as root with GNOME.
Well, yeah, that's
if you do it by, if you do it from the command line, you should be fine.
Okay, if I have installed it as root, and it's a good installation, and I try to launch it from a from a terminal window as a user, is that a legitimate way to launch the program?
Sure it is. However you want to launch it is fine with us. So give that a try. Either one should work. What's interesting about Linux, of course, is that it lets you do the same thing in multiple ways. So
it was originally designed, you know, as all Unixes, as a command line only, and then they started putting GUIs on top of it.
Right. The tough part about Firefox, of course, is that this is the pre-release. It's not the real thing, so it hasn't got all the bells and whistles. But it does work. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve.
No, he's got a little lisp. He's like, Steve Ray. I was like, whoa. Sorry.
And you're?
I'm Rob Linton.
There you go. I knew you'd get to it eventually.
And we should note that we have the second byte cam back up now.
Yes, we don't have the first byte cam.
What is this? It's facing me. Yes. Whoa.
Now that we're on Sundays, we can do with only one security camera at our store. So I borrowed the second one to come back.
And I'll get now that I know how. We got to get in here because it's not as easy as it was.
Oh, man,
it's like
a well, this is what I went through for the week that I did the morning show. You have to park in the middle of nowhere and walk through
the
an
B
empty
level.
Mall. And...
Well, I'm down there, and I'm trying to get in our normal way. That door's locked.
Yeah, the Euclid elevators don't open.
I go over to the escalators. They're locked.
They're locked, yeah.
I'm thinking, wait a minute, how am I going to get in? So I drove out, came back in.
There's that other elevator you can come up.
So I came up the other elevator, and then you come up that. You got to sign in now.
Walk all the way down.
Walk
through.
The other end of the mall.
See, that's why I waited a little longer, so I could just find your cars and see what you guys did.
See, the whole
I was picking up the camera.
The whole idea with the Midtown parking is to see how far they can get you to walk. You know what I'm saying? Like this morning, I had to walk through the entire. It's kind of creepy when the mall's closed.
Hey, yeah. Try doing
the garage.
5:30 in the morning.
I mean,
the garage was really, really quiet. I lock my car door. I hear echo through the whole building.
Yeah, the really creepy part about it is when you come up to the security desk and the security guard's sleeping.
Yeah,
like oh, yeah,
I'm sure that's
like,
not anything that happens here ever.
I know.
Don't forget, we have a trivia. Somebody get the trivia question. Who standardized the printed circuit board? Our next caller is Jason from Macedon, New York. Welcome, Jason. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show. I have a couple statements, real quick.
Want to take a shot at the trivia?
You know, I'd love to, only if I could get it right. I don't think I could get that one right.
Oh,
it's a good question. Let me take a shot. Xerox.
Nice try. Not correct.
Oh,
great try.
Couple
go ahead.
Statements. The quick question, and I'm going to let you guys answer. First of all, you had a caller in about 20 minutes ago. He was doing Mozilla with open source Linux.
Yep.
He had a Compaq Pentium 3 that he couldn't get to boot into an OS. He was having problems with that.
Right.
My first response that I didn't hear was, I would go into the BIOS and check the hard drive and make sure it's even registering under the BIOS setting.
Right.
Good point. Thank you.
Another thing, you guys had another caller called in. You want to know some differences between Athlon and Intel. My question pertains to that. I wonder if you guys can maybe broaden upon the difference between 64-bit processing and 32-bit processing and the temperature involved in both chips doing that. Another thing with Windows, what I hate most about it is the fact that it's not Linux. And finally, you know, do we want 4 more years of the same or change? Vote for Kerry. I'm going to let you guys respond. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Somehow you've confused us with some other kind of show. But the first three we can talk about.
Yeah.
Jim should probably check his BIOS settings, but according to him, he was actually finding the hard drive.
Yeah, he
just didn't know whether he could lose the special compact boot section.
He was worried, you know, whether that still had to be there or not, and we were telling him no. If he formatted it, it would, you know,
yeah,
go away.
HPs have started doing that now that they merged with Compaq. You get this D drive that contains all your restore CDs. They don't give you real restore CDs anymore. It's on the D drive.
Right.
And if you mess up your D drive, you're
done.
Up.
Yeah,
completely
done.
Well, that one died.
Yeah.
Right. As to 32-bit versus 64-bit, of course, only a Linux user cares, since Windows people have no 64-bit software. There is a version of Windows 2003 server for 64-bit, but no desktop products that work under 64-bit.
The F-Line 64s are coming out right now, you know, and again, it's like you're all dressed up and no place to go.
Well, if you're a Linux user, you can fly like a demon.
But I'm saying anybody with Windows XP or that, you know, I mean.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. You got at least a year before you even have to think about it.
Yeah, it's a heat issue, though.
We're starting to see some 64-bit stuff announced for the Mac PowerPC G5.
Right.
Maya Unlimited, I think it is, which is a real high-end animation program. If you've seen a movie in the last 5 years, it was done with Maya.
Right.
And as far as the motherboards, yes, they're getting smaller, as we've reported on the news. You know, all these components are getting smaller and tinier to get in smaller spaces, make them more lightweight, i.e. the laptops. They are, you know, getting smaller and smaller because folks want to be able to have the portability. And the cooling fans are a big issue. And even on the desktops, I mean, you look at some of these fans now, and it's unbelievable.
One of the problems people have with the fans is they're so noisy. And that's not good. So one
of
the things
nowadays are that
you can get the Whisper Quiet fans, or you can get the fans that go down. They stop working if the machine is too cool to need any sort of.
Apple's been doing that, and they call them blowers now, and they're ducted blowers, so they can cool specific points and don't have to worry about giant loud fans.
Right. Exactly. But in either case, you just want to make sure you've got enough fans in your case. We're going to take another break, but we're going to be back on the other side of this break with a whole lot more sound bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you, more trivia, all kinds of good stuff on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey.
Okay, I've got a message that I've approved, too. We want to talk to you a little bit about the anonymizer. We've talked about this before. You need spyware killers. You need anti-spam programs. And you need to be protected from identity theft and fraud on the Internet. Why not get all of that in one package? It's called the Anonymizer Private Surfing 2004 Suite. And normally it's a $90 product. You can get it for a mere $49.95 by going to www.getprivatenow.com. That's all one word, www.getprivatenow.com. Type in my name, Nick, and get the special price of $49.95. This is a value that's only being offered to Soundbites listeners, so take advantage of this while it's available. $49.95 for $90 worth of software at www.getprivatenow.com. Enter my name, Nick, and you can get the package. That's Anonymizer Private Surfing.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Can we get him to say more Rochesterians wake up while listening to Sound Bites than any other computer radio show in Rochester? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we're back, and we have a trivia question that nobody has gotten yet, and I want to know who standardized the printed
circuit
board.
Well, Rob's
are you finding
that way
these
too.
Random, or do you think that relates to what we were talking about in some way?
I'm thinking it's because we don't have real computer geeks listening to the show anymore, and you know, computer geeks are notorious for waking up at noon, working till 4 a.m., but the average person is now doing so much on computers, and what they think beginning computer users are has changed so dramatically.
We got a couple of geeks. We got some guy asking about Linux.
We could change the question and move it up to this one, which should be it.
We could, but we're not. We're going to finish off with this one.
Okay.
I just want to know people are at least giving it a try.
Yeah, so the average computer folks, listen for a few years, and then you'll understand all of the weird terms that sometimes we don't know either.
Yes, we're acquired listening.
But that's, I think, a good point. Nobody understands everything we say, including us. But back
we make
we
it up as we go
up,
along.
Exactly, because we figure you guys are asking the questions. You don't know the answers either. What difference does it make? But the reality is that you start out knowing a little bit, you listen, and you learn more. And you keep listening, you keep learning. That's why we're here. Our goal is to make everybody into geeks so that nobody seems to be a geek. How's
and
that
have
sound?
Fun doing it.
And have fun. Well, that's my goal, is to have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And then if you learn something along the way, great, that's good too.
That's
but
just
that's
an
not
bonus.
Why I'm here. Okay, our next caller is Mike from Henrietta. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Would it be
research and development arm of AT&T?
It would not, but that was a heck of a good choice. That was good.
Yeah. Bell Labs invented the transistor in 1947. That really revolutionized, you know, computing. It shrunk it from a room to a from a building to a room.
Right. No more vacuum tubes. So, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, guys. Hi. I'm trying to reinstall my ISP software, but I keep getting an error that says that there was an error copying setup DLL, the temp directory, and then it just stopped. At the time when the problem started, I was surfing the web, and I do have Norton Systems work, and I did keep it updated, and it just stopped surfing. I mean, it just stopped working, and then something from Notepad popped up. Let me just read the first line. It says object ID equals, and then in quotes, go pop menu. And I mean, it's probably
spyware.
It's got a whole list of gobbledygook.
Yeah, what you might try to do, what is your software? Your web surfing software. What's your web browser?
I'm using People PC.
Uh-huh. And what's
your previously had AOL, and I removed that.
Right. But are you using Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
Okay. What you might want to do is clear the cache in Internet Explorer. Clear out all the stuff that's in there. You can do that. I don't remember anymore.
Tools,
Internet Options.
There it is, Tools and Internet Options.
Uh-huh.
And then clear the cache completely out. And
temporary Internet files.
And the temporary Internet files. And then close the browser down and restart it and see if that doesn't fix the problem.
Now, here's something a little disconcerting.
Also, you want to...
GoPop is an innovative program that enables remote access to Outlook email.
Yeah.
And so you want if you don't want that to happen, remote...
Right, you
want
to definitely download Spybot and Adaware. And...
Right now, I can't even get on with that computer. I'm using my backup computer because...
Well, if you can...
If the backup computer has a CD burner, you might want to try going and getting the entire security tangle, burning it to CD, and running it on the other machine.
Tango?
The Security Tango at securitytango.com.
Okay.
There's a list. You click the Let's Dance button on the left there, and that will take you to a whole series of steps that you should follow step by step by step. In fact, on both computers wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while, but the point is it makes you safer from this sort of thing and clears out any of that stuff that's still lurking in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And some lady, we have a stand at the public market, Flower City Coffee. Stand number
best
45, whatever it is, at the public market. And some lady came up and said, I really want to thank you. My entire office, our manager insists we all run the Security Tango every Friday afternoon. I thought, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I got one more question for
you.
The Notepad item that popped up.
Yeah.
Would that be safe if I were to, like, copy it to a disk, transfer it to my other PC? Would that be safe to email?
Yes, it's just text.
Okay.
Particularly if it came up in Notepad, it's just text you can copy and paste.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Good point. You can then email it to someone and see what they have to say about it. Our next caller, Paul from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
I got a prompt that they wanted me to upgrade to a SP2.
Yeah.
It almost goes 100%, and then I get a message comes up I got an internal error.
Did you first scan it for any spyware?
I've got a couple that I've ran. I've got Loot Blaster, I think one of it is.
Yeah.
But
You ought to dance the entire Security Tango, as we just told the previous caller.
Okay.
The other thing you want to do is make sure. How much space do you have free on your hard drive?
Well, that's the thing. The system has two hard drives on it, so the one is the primary is has quite a bit of space.
Yeah, your C drive, you should keep, we used to say 10%, but sometimes that's not much anymore. So 10 gigs free is a good working minimum
but
now.
The other key thing, though, to going to SP2 is that it is very critical. I can't stress this enough. Very critical that you look for any updates on your motherboard manufacturer, your video card, sound card, modem, network, look at all those websites for any updated drivers before even attempting to do the SP2.
If you have a name brand PC, you know, Dell, HP, Compaq,
yeah, you can put in the service tag
number. Go to their website, put in your serial number, service tag number, and most of them will likely have a list of all the updated drivers you need.
Right.
Home built or you know, component built PCs are a little harder. You have to go to each manufacturer individually.
The other thing that's equally critical is to definitely run the Tango, because you must make sure you have no spyware
Those are the two critical things.
And then give it another try.
The security Tango is the best thing to run then.
Absolutely. Yep. Run it from top to bottom. Don't skip any steps.
Okay.
And let us know.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, okay. Paul. Our next caller is Doug from Chi-Li, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Hi. I've got. I've just switched from dial-up to Frontier DSL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can no longer use Internet Explorer to go to secure website.
Well, that's actually good, because Internet Explorer is not secure.
What error message do you get?
The page cannot be displayed. Please try the following. Click the refresh button or try later that. What happens is if I disable the LAN card and plug in a phone line and use dial-up, I can go do my banking online. I get the little lock in the bottom of the...
Oh, yeah, change your settings.
What seems to be happening is that when you set up with Frontier, the security settings level in Internet Explorer went too high.
Or he's got to go into... If you go into Control Panel, into Internet Settings, the very first page, it might be set to always dial. There's three...
I've got that... never dial a connection. I have to turn it back on to dial a connection.
All right. Then just below that, there's another button down in the lower right-hand corner. If you click that, I think it's advanced, and it'll open up another window, and it says there's a check auto for the IP address.
Obtain an IP address automatically?
Put a check mark in there.
I do that when I have to use the DSL, and I can go anywhere on the Internet, but not to secure web pages.
The other thing is to check under security.
Yep, let's go tools, Internet options.
Right, and see what the level of the security is set to, whether or not there might be a custom level that's preventing you from running
ActiveX
controls.
I've got medium. What I did was I turned off my Windows XP firewall. That didn't help. I turned off Norton antivirus. That didn't help. But I can get there on dial-up perfectly, and I can't get there on DSL. I called DSL Tech, and they said, well, the only difference is one uses a modem and the other uses a NIC card. So get drivers for your NIC card.
No, the NIC card is clearly working.
Yeah.
I tried uninstalling the NIC card and reinstalling it.
Oh, do you have cookies turned off?
Don't think so.
Check to see that. Again, going to Internet Properties on the Privacy tag, there's an advanced button. Under advanced, you might want to check override automatic cookie handling and set it all to prompt, and then delete all your cookies under general.
Or, better yet, go to Mozilla and download that and use that as a web browser.
Well, so it might be that his bank uses an ActiveX control. But try that and let us know.
You want me to try override prompt, okay?
Yeah.
Override prompt, okay, this always allow cookie sessions, don't check it?
No, don't always allow cookie sessions, always say prompt. Prompt and prompt.
Click on it right now.
Okay.
Okay, and let us know. Thanks. Our next caller, Brian from Fairport. Welcome, Brian, what's your question?
Yes, thank you. I recently found myself unemployed, so I made myself a website.
Excellent.
And I did it through HTTP, through Roadrunner. I'm not registering it because I can't afford that. But I can't get any GIFs to work on my site. I get the picture on there, but they're not moving, and they won't move in Word. I've created it with web page of Office.
So you can't get animated GIFs to work.
Right.
Well, they don't work in Word. You have to have a web browser, don't you?
Yeah. So when you go to the website with your web browser, they don't show up as animated.
No.
What web browser are you using?
I'm using Firefox, and when I open the picture itself, it opens the browser fine.
And it animates, but it won't animate from the Roadrunner website?
Right.
We're going to have to look into this one, Brian. Give us a week. Call us back. I don't have an answer for you right away, but I'll talk to the Roadrunner folks, and we'll see what we can figure out. I'm afraid we're done for another week, and I'm sorry I couldn't answer that question, but we'll figure it out. I'm also sorry we couldn't give away a copy of an Anonymizer this week. We'll have to give away two next week. The answer to the question, who standardized the printed circuit board, that would be the National Bureau of Standards. During World War II, the Bureau of Standards were working on proximity detectors for artillery shells and got real tired of the fact that every vendor was sending them different stuff, so they standardized the way printed circuit boards should work. Done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We're back next Sunday at 11 o'clock on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.